world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that you've gotten your day off to a good start, a real good start. You done got up and done washed your face, done brushed your teeth, done had you a good breakfast. As they say, you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, as they say in the country. You ready to go. You ready to face this day. You done put on the whole armor of God. Yeah. And you done got your sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you done prayed. So you ready. You armed and dangerous. Yeah. Yeah. Once you get the word of God in you and you done prayed, ladies and gentlemen, you are a danger to the kingdom of darkness. See, that's why the devil don't want you to read your Bible. Because he knows that a Christian that read his Bible and know his Bible, you dangerous. That's why he don't want you to pray. Because he knows that when you pray, you're getting ready to call in for some air support. It's like calling in the Air Force to come in there and drop some bombs on his kingdom and blow up his lit playhouse and tear his lit playhouse down. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's why he don't even want you to listen to programs like this here. Because the devil know, boy, if you get the right information, if you get truth, see, one of the most dangerous things in the world to the devil is a Christian that knows the truth. See, the devil, what he tries to do is deceive you. That's his whole game plan, is to fool you. If he can't fool you, then he can't get you. But if he can fool you, then he can get you. See, like Adam and Eve, remember? He made Eve doubt the word of God, and he fooled them. Yeah, he tricked her to eat off the wrong tree. Yeah, but I believe you are listening to a program like this because you don't want the devil to fool you. And that's what this program here is all about. It's about the Situation Room, trying to get the right information out to the body of Christ, that they can have the right information so that they can be armed and dangerous to the devil and his kingdom. All right, today is our day that we focus on Bible questions and answers. Bible questions and answers. We got several Bible questions, so I need to go on and give this contact information out so we can get to these Bible questions. If just in case you have a Bible question, a question pertaining to the Christian life, a marriage question, single question, if you just got a question, And you need God's perspective on it. You want to know, what do God think about this? What do God say? Because God has spoken, ladies and gentlemen, and he has not stuttered. He has spoken on everything that pertains to life and godliness. So you can email him at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or you can call him in at 972-257-3766. 972-257-3766. All right. We got that. Let me get the Bible question. The Bible question. Oh, we got three good Bible questions this morning. Hopefully we can get these questions. Let's just start with number one. Where are the dead? Are they sleeping in the grave? Are they living in heaven? Remember last week, that's how we closed out the program. I just read the question to you, but I couldn't answer the question because I didn't want to give just a little short answer because you know, this is very important. This question here, particularly this here. Where are the dead? Well, in order to answer that question, I think we need to understand what death is. Because the person asks, where are the dead? Are they sleeping in the grave? Are they living in heaven? That's very good. That's two questions. Where are the dead? Are they sleeping in the grave? Or are they living in heaven? Well, death is separation. That's what we need to understand first. We need to understand what death is. Death is nothing more than separation. A separation done took place whenever there's a death. And the Bible makes mention of at least three kinds of death. First, there is spiritual death. You need to understand that, my beloved. There's spiritual death, and what spiritual death is, that's a separation between man from God. That's when, remember when Adam sinned, he experienced a spiritual death. That it was a separation between him and God. That's why God says, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Because they were separated. Then there is a physical death. Physical death is a separation between the soul and the spirit. But let me back up too, because see, on that spiritual death, there was a separation in the spirit realm when Adam sinned. That was a separation. It was kind of like his telephone was disconnected, because that's kind of what your spirit is. Your spirit is like the telephone part of you, where you can get in touch with God. But when And you can hear God. But once you sin and you fall into spiritual death, then it's kind of like the telephone done been disconnected. You done got there's a disconnection between you and God. But there's a reconnection, or there is a connection between you and the devil. You can hear the devil really good. That's why when a child is born in this world, they come in here spiritually dead. And unless that child get born again, then that person going to end up growing up going to hell, because they are spiritually dead. Now, let me back up, because I was talking about physical death. Physical death is separation between the soul and the spirit from the body. So when a person dies physically, and we say, oh, so-and-so done died, and we're going to their funeral, then that person is not there. We see their body, but their spirit is not there. Their spirit has went somewhere else. It's kind of like going to a house. You can come to my house this morning, and you can knock on my door at my house. You can ring the doorbell at my house, and won't nobody come to the door. You know why I won't come to the door? Because I'm not there. Matter of fact, won't nobody come to that door, because nobody is there. So, and that's kind of how it is. But you see the house. The house looked the same and everything. I may not even left a light or two on. But there's nobody there. In the same way. A person, you go up there to that casket, you look at that casket, you look at that person in that casket, say they look so natural, but you can offer them their best food, their favorite food. You can offer them their favorite drink, their favorite beverage, but they won't take it. You can offer them $1 million and they won't take it. Why? Because they are dead. The body is there, but the spirit has gone. In other words, you see the house, but nobody is at home. That's what a spiritually, that's what physical death is. That you still see the house, that dead body is the house. But they done moved out of that house. They done moved out of the house. Yeah, yeah. So that's what physical death is. Then there's eternal death. Eternal death is separation of the soul and the spirit from God for all eternity in hell. Yeah. So if a person don't get saved, when they die, they're not only will they experience a physical death, but that soul and that spirit is going to move out of them and going to go to hell. It's going to go to hell, going to end up in hell. And that soul and the spirit is going to be tormented forever. So when the Bible talks about death, there's basically three kinds, spiritual death, physical death, and then the eternal death. Now, when the Bible talks about sleep, it's not talking about soul sleep. See, what is your soul? Your soul is in the area of your five senses. You have a body, soul, and spirit. Well, in your soul is what animates the body. That's what animates your body. That's what makes your body move. Remember, God breathed the breath of life into Adam and he became a living soul. His soul, that's the feeling part of you. That's the thinking part of you. That's where your mind is at. It's in your soul. That's where your senses are at, in your soul. And so when the Bible talks about sleep, it's talking about the body being sleep. It's not talking about the soul being sleep. Matter of fact, you have an eternal soul. Your soul will never die. Your soul will last forever. See, matter of fact, once a child come into creation, once a baby is born, matter of fact, before a child is even born, even in the womb, that person becomes a soul, a living soul. And just like that baby can live inside of his mama, it can live outside of his mama. Once it's born, it lives outside of his mama. Well, in the same way, when a person die, that soul never dies. Yeah, that soul lives forever. So we're not talking about soul sleep. We're not talking about that at all. See, the Bible talks about over in 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse number 30, Paul told some of the people there at that Corinthian church, because they was partaking the Holy Communion in an unworthy manner. He said, for this call, some of you are weak. God is judging you, because he said, some of you are weak, some of you are sickly, and some of you are asleep. So some was weak, sickly, and when he's talking about sleep, he's not talking about soul sleep. He's talking about God done took, he done put the body to rest. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about putting the body to rest. Remember when Jesus went to Lazarus' grave? Jesus says, I need to go and wake up Lazarus, because Lazarus is asleep. And so the disciples said, well, if he's asleep, Master, you know, he's doing a good thing, you know, just let him sleep. And Jesus said, no, Lazarus is dead. But when the Bible talks about sleep, it refers to the believer like he's just asleep. His body is asleep. Because what God will do, God will just call his name, just like with Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. So Jesus can talk to a dead body and wake up that dead body. And he woke Lazarus' dead body up. And then Lazarus' soul and spirit had to come back and get back in that body. All right. So we're not talking about soul sleep. We're talking about your body being asleep. So when a person dies, let me go on and answer this question. So when a person dies, your soul goes somewhere. Notice when the Bible talks about the death of Abraham over in Genesis 25. Let's just start with the beginning of the Bible and kind of work our way through. Genesis 25 and 8. 25 and 8. Genesis 25 and 8. The Bible says, and Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was, here it is, gathered to his people. Did you notice that? Abraham gave up the ghost, that's the spirit, that's his soul, and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. What is talking about gathered to his people? Did you notice that phrase? Gathered to his people is a phrase that basically means that he went to be with his other dead loved ones. He went to be with, you know, his father, his mother, and his other dead loved ones. See, when you die, your soul and spirit goes to be with the departed dead, those who have went on ahead of you. It's like a big family reunion. Uh-huh. Look at let's look at another one. Jacob, when he died, Genesis 49. Let's just look at that, since that's in Genesis. Genesis 49, 33. The Bible says in Genesis 49, verse number 33, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was, here it is, gathered to his people. Did you notice that? Did you notice that, my beloved? Notice that phrase. That phrase, gathered to his people, don't mean that you go to the grave. That ain't what it's talking about. But that you go to be with the souls of your other family members. See, when Jacob made an end of commanding his son, he gathered up his feet into his bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. See, he was gathered to his, he went to be with his people before they put the body in the grave. So when a person dies, you go and be with your people who are saved. You go be with just those departed. And like in this case here, Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob is going to be with his people. All right. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, he told the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. That you find that over in Luke chapter 23, verse number 43. And then look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's see here. 2 Corinthians. Let me turn over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 8. Are you with me, beloved? Verse number 8. Paul says, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. See, back up in verse number 1, Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house, and that's what the body is like a house, of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Yeah, so when you leave this house, then you have a temporary. You go to heaven, and you have like a temporary body until you get your body that's on earth, till it become resurrected and glorified. But Paul says in verse 8, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So when a person die, that soul and spirit goes to be with the Lord. That's what Paul is talking about, to be absent from the body. Is that your soul and spirit is absent from the body. That means you're present with the Lord. Well, and then an example, a real good example of a person's soul either goes to be with the Lord or the lost soul go to hell is, you know, the story of that Jesus told over in Luke chapter 16, verse number 19 through 31. You remember the story of the rich man and the poor man. And remember, the rich man was named, well, it don't give the rich man name, but the poor man was named Lazarus. And remember, the rich man, he died, and the Bible says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. In hell. He was in torment there in hell. And the Bible says that Lazarus was there in paradise or in Abraham's bosom. And so the rich man, he was able to feel. He was able to taste. He was able to touch. He had all of his senses and everything. So when a person dies, you keep all your senses and stuff. Yeah, you feel, you taste, you touch, everything. Matter of fact, I always tell people who have lost loved ones done passed, I say they're more alive today than they ever been. Yeah, because they see a whole lot more. Like right now, you are limited. We are so limited. Matter of fact, this body is like a death trap. I mean, it holds you back. But they are able to go places at supersonic sound now, at supersonic speed. They are able to, matter of fact, it's even, you know, when our bodies will be raptured at the rapture, the Bible says at a moment, at a twinkling of an eye, I mean, we're going to be changed just like that. So they are more alive today. Because they see things, they hear things, they do things. They are more alive today than we are. Matter of fact, they waiting on us. They are waiting on us. See, when you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in that rapture scene, the Bible, Jesus talks about that. He says, verse number 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. He's talking about their bodies being asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. See, that God is going to bring your loved ones back to the earth with him. So that means that when they died, they must have went to be with Jesus. Or Jesus would have never said, I'm going to bring them back with me. Notice what he says. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them that are asleep. Now, he's talking about the soul sleep. Oh, that's the other way. Not soul sleep, excuse me. He's not talking about soul sleep. He's talking about their bodies being asleep. And he's talking about their souls is in heaven. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He's talking about their bodies. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you see that, my beloved? Do you see that? Do you see that it's going to be a family reunion? When you die, you go to be with your loved ones. And then one day in the rapture, one day in the rapture, let me clear something. When you die, if you save, you go to be with your saved loved ones. Yeah. And at the rapture, if the rapture took place today, God would bring back your saved loved ones. We would meet them in the air. That's what he's saying. So that's going to be a great family reunion. So whether we meet them in the rapture or whether you have to die, either way it go, you're going to see Jesus and you're going to see your loved ones again in heaven. Oh, somebody ought to say glory. Somebody ought to say glory. Somebody ought to say glory. Hallelujah. All right. Well, look like that's going to be it. I'm not going to have time to get to the other questions. I had two more good questions. I had another question. Did Jesus have any brothers or sisters? I'll answer that next time. And then there was another question. Does anyone has the gift of interpreting dreams today? I'll answer that next time. So tune in next week. And we'll have those questions. We'll have the answers to those questions for you. All right, but look like the clock on the wall is saying that's going to be all for today in the Situation Room. Thank you so kindly for joining us today. We hope something was said, something was done to help you and to encourage you in your Christian journey. Now, let me encourage you to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That means music and a whole lot more. So, at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. At 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book, let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Now have a good day.